Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on August 31st, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
All right. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, school's back in session.
You know, that's so funny that you mention that. Last weekend or the weekend before,
Yeah. Somebody
had a celebrate the end of summer party.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who would want to celebrate the end of summer? And then I realized, the parents.
Yes.
Get the kids back in school. I do not like to see the end of summer. I want summer to go on forever.
Yeah.
And speaking of summer at the beach.
Yes.
I saw you dancing your pants off the other night.
What a fantastic event. The Ridgestone Family Center fundraiser it's near the Chart House, next to the Chart House.
It's right next door to the Chart House, yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic. What an evening.
Yeah, that is an evening. And do you remember, we were talking about it last week, and you asked me if I went last year, and I said no.
Right.
I was incorrect. Somebody posted pictures from last year's, and apparently I was at the event. I go to so many things I forget sometimes,
yeah.
But apparently I had a great time like I did this year.
Yeah.
That is one of the most fun events in the South Bay.
It really is, and we were able to connect with some very old friends from Hermosa and, Richard
Roger Van Rimmen, yeah.
Roger Van Rimmen was so gracious. It was wonderful. Really enjoyed it. Would love to attend next year.
Yeah, it's as I said, it's one of the most fun parties. Roger and his team they know how to throw a party. They know how to make sure everybody has a great time.
Right.
The food was amazing. You know, all the sponsors were amazing. And the band is a big part of it. They have a terrific band.
Yes.
That the minute they start playing, people are dancing.
Yeah.
You know how at a lot of events, the band is going, but people are just sitting there twiddling their thumbs, waiting for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This band, they start and people are up dancing. Are they from? Is it Citrus College? It's some sort of citrus. It's Orange College or Citrus College or
right.
Something like that.
Right. I don't recall exactly.
You don't recall? Yeah, but anyway, it's called Night Owl Productions, and they are a fun, fun, fun band. Anyway, speaking of events, last week I had another one of those crazy weeks.
Just
event after event after event after event, and I got to check out the new FICA company, the new coffee house in Redondo.
Yeah.
This place is fabulous. You know something? I'm not a coffee drinker, but I love it that it is not like any other coffee house that I've ever been to. You know, coffee houses, you've got the cookie cutter stuff, you know, Starbucks and Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf.
Right.
And then it seems like every other coffee house is a little more like homespun. You know, there's old couches and recliners and beat up coffee tables and you know, so people, it's way more laid back. This place is industrial design, very clean lines, high ceiling, cool decor.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. I took a group of people to check this place out, and everybody really, really, really enjoyed it.
I just wanted to say, well, first of all, Jackie, I have to say, Night Owl Productions is a byproduct of Citrus College's highly regarded music department, started by Gino Munoz, faculty at Citrus College. And Jackie, what could possibly be new about a coffee place? Why is it fabulous?
I'm just telling you, you need to go and check it out.
Okay.
It's not like any other coffee house. Don't get me wrong. I love our independence and stuff, but this place is just different. And it also goes that they roast their own beans in small packets. They've got this very cool-looking retro roaster right in the space.
Yeah.
And you can watch, and the owner, he roasts everything in small little batches.
Right.
So you got to check it out. It's very, very cool. I think it's filling a need. You know, there's a niche, and they got it. And then this weekend, Pub at the Club at the Badminton Club.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah,
was,
right.
Yeah, that was amazing. Taste at the Beach.
Right.
That was another amazing. I mean, there's just been, you know, it's so funny. Towards the end of summer, the events just pile on, just,
right,
you know, there's
right,
like 16
right.
things to do every weekend. And last night, we celebrated our friend Christina Wenstrom's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Just a group of us got together for cocktails and at Japonica in Redondo Beach, and we had a lovely, lovely time. So, yeah, so that you know what happens with me. I end up going to a whole bunch of things, and then I got to hold myself away at my desk for several days to write up everything, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm in that mode now. So
okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, I'm excited about this show today because this is something that we do regularly throughout the year, but we do not get enough original artists to talk to and to examine their view of their work and how their work relates to the marketplace. I love talking to artists about their work and
it's another one of our favorite topics.
Yes,
it is. We've got food, and we've got such a vibrant art scene here in the South Bay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exciting. And, Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are wood-turning artist Richard Gould and painter-photographer Bernard Fallon. From an early age, Richard Gould was exposed to woodworking by his father, and since then, he has constantly been creating and growing in his capacity as a wood crafter. About 5 years ago, he bought a wood lathe to join his already existing workshop, and he's been turning wood ever since. Richard's pieces are made from wood that most people consider to be scrap. He's rescued hundreds of logs and repurposed them into beautiful art. Each piece of wood is different and has its own challenges. He tries to bring out the unique aspects of each type of wood, creating one-of-a-kind pieces. For Richard, trash turns to treasure, and he never knows what treasures he will find inside. He is a proud member of the American Association of Woodturners, the El Camino Woodturners Guild, the Redondo Beach Art Group, the Third Dimension of the PVACA, and the Palos Verdes Artist Open Group. He has been giving woodturning demonstrations for many different organizations and displays his work at art shows throughout Southern California. Now, Bernard Fallon is a graduate of the Liverpool College of Art and the Leicester Polytechnical School of Photography. He spent a lifetime in the visual arts as a painter, teacher, and photographer. Bernard's strong landscape and still life painting derives from his direct observation of nature and training in thoroughly grounded traditions of fine art. His work shows not only his integrity as a plein air painter, but also his direct appreciation of the visible world. He works mostly with oils and pastels, and his paintings are in collections throughout the United States and Europe. His work has also been shown at the Los Angeles Maritime Museum, the Los Angeles Municipal Gallery, the Long Beach Museum of Art, the Oceanside Museum, the Pasadena Museum of California Art, the Torrance Art Museum, and a whole bunch more. Bernard is an artist member of the Redondo Beach, California Art Club and a charter member of the Pastel Society of Southern California. He is also an author and wrote a memoir, Art Fallon's Liverpool, to accompany an exhibition of his photographs at the Liverpool Museum Conservative Center in 2007. He currently teaches plein air and night photography classes at the Palos Verdes Art Center. He's won various awards for his landscapes and recently won second place in the Art Fusion exhibit in July of 2015. So, Joe, this morning we're going to learn about this brand new event. It's a brand new event, Art at the Harbor, which will take place on Saturday, September 10th and Sunday, September 11th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. It's at 245 Harbor Drive in Redondo Beach. That's the lot across the street from Crown Plaza Hotel. Bernard, Richard, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Thank you very much. We do love talking to artists. And let's start with you, Bernard. First of all, we've all around the world spent our lives pronouncing Liverpool. So we all have no problem with that. How is it Leicester or Leicester?
Keep going. Eventually you'll get to Leicester.
Leicester?
Leicester.
That's easy.
I should have known that, because isn't it Worcester?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Anything ending in Cester, Esther, Chester, it means it's a Roman fortress town.
Oh.
So like Liverpool, these places are pretty ancient.
Wow. Leicester Polytechnic School of Photography.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the transition from the UK to the US. When did that happen for you?
Originally, when I finished my postgrad at Leicester, I had the opportunity to work in a vineyard up in Healdsburg in 1972. And so I went out there and worked around the winery and the vineyards, doing various odd jobs, manual labor, basically, shoveling grape skins, that sort of stuff.
Hmm.
And I took lots of pictures, and I met a student of Ansel Adams, the great California landscape photographer, and he showed me a few things that I should be doing with developing film and making prints. And so I had set my mind on making a career in photography anyway, so I went back to England, and I eventually worked at the BBC, and then for the independent television channel that I worked on their magazine. It was called the TV Times, and that brought me back here as a photographer doing the Hollywood thing.
Mm.
And so that was a long time ago, and eventually things changed, and I got married, and we had two kids, and so I stayed.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically it. And it was kind of interesting because Liverpool is kind of quite northern, and they have 40 inches of rain a year.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, huh? but that comes at the price of being cloudy a lot of the time.
Right.
Here in Southern California, it's essentially the Mediterranean climate, and everything is heightened with the blue sky. And for photography, it certainly is a different thing to manage outdoor stuff. But painting-wise, it basically opened my eyes again to colors and shapes and things, and I started to draw and paint again. And I got essentially kind of away from photography and back into painting.
Well, the website is Bernard Fallon, BERNARDFALLON, BernardFallon.com, and some of the landscapes are just really fascinating. Some are easily identifiable as California, and others are not. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Richard, there is something very, very American about your work, as I'm looking at your work on your website. Tell us a little bit about woodworking. You say your father was woodworking?
Yes. Well, my father was in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and he did woodworking as a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
But as a boy, I always had a wood shop available to me. So I I could build anything I wanted whenever I wanted. So it was like an amazing education for me to have my dad so supportive of being able to, you know, create whatever you wanted.
Right.
So I, when I moved out of my parents' house, I, of course, built my own wood shop in my own house.
Right.
And, of course, with a little help from my dad. And I just continued on, and I made furniture, and I made, you know, just little knickknacks or whatever anybody needed. And I did that for years and years and years. And you know, I built a couple houses for myself, and so, but just recently I got a wood lathe.
Mm.
And the reason I got this wood lathe was to make handles for all of my father's tools that I had inherited.
Mm.
And so, you know, in doing that, I got into a whole new part of woodworking that I hadn't been in before, because my dad had lots of tools that needed maintenance.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's how I got into that.
Now, I just for a moment, Richard, I want to pause and think about this for a moment. You say, well, you know, my dad you said the Air Force?
Yes, he was
okay.
In the Air Force.
Okay,
stationed at El Segundo. Yes.
Okay, so he had a woodworking shop at home, and I was exposed to that early. And you know, I left home, and I decided I wanted my own woodworking shop because that was something I was very interested in doing, and it was fun for me. And then you know, I made furniture. You know, I did this, and then of course I built a few houses, and you know, everybody builds a few houses, Richard. I mean, that's nothing special, right?
That's right. Well, my career, my professional career, was running an architectural firm.
Mm. Mm.
So for a real estate developer. So I was kind of, you know, exposed to that through my professional life.
When I see your work and your website is rgould, gould88.wixsite.com/woodturning. rgould88.wixsite.com/woodturning. What I was immediately struck by, and I maybe this is an old world European feel to it, but woodworking is very, it's ancient feeling. It feels American, but I think also it feels old world. Do you have that sense?
Are you saying woodworking or wood turning?
Well, I'm looking
because
yeah,
actually both have a, you know, have a long history, obviously.
Right.
And wooden bowls were made for many, many, many years ago. And my work is just an extension of what everybody else has done. Although I have taken this natural edge feeling of leaving the bark on the wood.
Yeah.
And giving the wood a more organic feel to it.
Right.
That brings out more of the natural, you know, the natural feeling that's already inside the wood that maybe you can't see that when you look at a log or you look at a piece of wood, but by doing the wood turning the way I do it and leaving the bark, sometimes that just pops out at you. And sometimes I just go, oh my God, look what I found inside. And I'm sure that occurred way back when, but I think in the history of wood turning, they did it more of a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to an art. And I think that in the United States now, and certainly in England, I know, wood turning has become a method of art. It's become a way to produce art. And I think that's a little bit of a change from it being a necessity.
Right. When you needed to create your own bowls and your own implements for eating and for holding things, out of necessity, you couldn't buy them. Maybe you didn't have money. You had to make them. And also, of course, Bernard, you would have found many wood bowls in any Roman town that would be very old, because they did a lot of that as well, didn't they?
Yes, except that they would probably would not survive the centuries because of insects. They have found other stuff in bogs and things like that.
Right.
Preserved. Yeah.
When you think of, you know, one of the most fascinating, I think, one of the most fascinating sort of entrances to an artist's work is how that artist thinks about how the public views their art. So tell me, Bernard, in a fashion, how do you view yourself and how do you believe the outside world views your art?
Well, I know people really love it when they want to own it.
Hmm.
that's kind of one way of putting it. In the early days, you know, it was you wanted to show people and what you'd done, and that idea really hasn't gone away. But my ideas about what I do have changed, and so it's no longer representing the world from a photographic point of view, or trying to illustrate it or draw it perfectly with every leaf and wrinkle.
Mm.
It's now become more of an exercise in the process of applying paint. So there's a procedure where the paint is played with.
Mm-hmm.
The colors are thought of as being in harmonies. Some of the obvious things apply, like value, you know, which is the lightness or darkness of an image,
mm-hmm.
which goes back to photography.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the value in a painting, which is the lightness and darkness, which actually does all the work in a painting, and then color gets the credit.
Mm. There is something about the artists. There's a division between the artists that focus on people and faces and groups of people and social groups, and it could be, you know, conflict, war. There's a difference between that kind of an artist and an artist that does landscapes, and you have some characters in your paintings, such as boats and shoes and things like that. Tell us a little bit about that, because when we're looking at a boat, for instance, there's a story being told by that boat, and there's obviously a place where people work and a place where people recreate, but the people aren't there. Tell us about that.
Well, when you're looking at a landscape that has no human design on it, for instance, if I'm painting a scene of the peninsula at moonrise, for instance, or sunset, I'll usually try and pick out something that doesn't have buildings in it, because they're really spoiling the whole shape and the sensuality of a landscape, because I'm not looking at the real estate. I'm looking at shapes and how they catch the light, perhaps, or if there's some kind of idea there. When it comes to objects, the objects usually reflect an interest that they have a bit of a story to tell, or because of the way I see it, my eye is picking up a lot of subtleties, or luminosity, for instance, in some cheese still lives I've done, and I've put the single light over the top of the still life, and that illuminates it in a certain dramatic way. The old boots, there's a pair of old boots that I painted that were my son's, and he was throwing them out. And I was just tickled pink by the character of these unlaced boots. And so when I set them up to the still life, I didn't do them big toe to big toe, which is how normally we would place shoes or boots.
Mm.
I put them little toe to little toe. And the contrast, where they look like two old married people who've got their differences, and they're full of wrinkles and they look very crumbly, that's kind of that amuses me. And so if something is amusing, then make a joke of it, put it down.
Artists just see the world differently. You know, they don't see it the same way that non-artists do. They just and not just painters and photographers, but comedians, I mean, actors, across the board, artists just see the world from a different place. They just, you know, they see things we don't.
That's true.
I'm looking here, not at a landscape, not at a picture of a mountain, but it has some similarities. It's meatscape.
Meat.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I've seen that.
Meatscape, New York steak.
Yes.
But you could imagine it being an image of a mountain or something. It's just it's meat. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it is in fact as a result of doing some paintings of the cliffs around Palos Verdes Estates towards Lunada Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's an area called Paseo del Mar, which although that road is split, you get these splendid views. And remember, the coastline we've got around here is one of the best in California, because you have to go a long way north or a long way south before you see anything again like the Palos Verdes Peninsula.
Right.
And anyway, I was out for the best part of a week making studies and painting. And on my return, I stopped by to get a quart of milk at Vons, I think it was, walked past the meat counter, and I looked down, and I thought, my God, that meat is shaped like Bluff Cove and the Abalone Cove area,
right?
Because it's got the indent in the middle, and it's got the two outcrops at either end. So I took it home, put it on ice, and I just had a tremendous fun painting it. And so, yes, I could have painted a yacht in the picture for those who don't have any any connections to visual puns.
Right.
But no, it was best left alone. And then I highlighted the meat to be slightly darker or lighter as I added some other colors to it to really emphasize it. But you can quickly imagine that those are the surfer trails going down the side of the meat.
Yes.
And it goes from a very raw piece of flesh with fat on it,
yeah,
to, oh my gosh, that's a lovely view. and you know, it's like one of those mind games where you're asked to look at a shape and, you know, can you see two profiles of faces, or do you see a vase or something like that?
Right.
And so it's got a certain duality to it. But it's paint, and that's the important thing. It's just paint. I'm not trying to be a trickster. I'm just having some fun.
Yeah. Wow.
Joe, I wanted to mention that I met both Bernard and Richard at the El Segundo Art Walk.
Yeah.
Art Walk earlier this year. They both displayed this season. I went to all three events again. It was amazing. Bernard was showing at Smoky Hollow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he had, and it was so interesting because he had a display of paintings up that really caught the eye.
Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting. It caught my eye, and I walked over. I didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
But it was the food. It was the piece of meat.
Mm.
I think there was some asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some eggs. I can't remember, but it was a series of just very simple, and it was just like, wow, this is different. And you know, I looked at it, and then I saw Bernard, and I went over to say hi. And while I was standing there, it was amazing how many men were attracted to that piece of meat.
They were all flies.
It drew them in. It was amazing. And you know, I saw one guy that they had visceral reactions to it.
I'm sorry. I think, you know, there are these artists that go overboard in terms of their focus on one thing, and they will, if we're talking about steaks, they will paint, you know, 100 pictures of steaks or whatever throughout their career. But this one, Bernard, there is something, dare I say, sensual about meat and about your relationship to food.
Yeah.
You know, people have different relationships to food. There's something
That's
interesting
right.
about this painting.
Well, of course, you know, we are meat as well,
right?
In a kind of odd sort of way. But the important thing is to think about is from the artist's point of view is I'm looking at the shapes, And, you know, we're very attracted to sensual shapes, you know, the shapes of the body in all its forms. And when you see that outside of the body in the form of a landscape or some cheese or some other things, then you make a connection, and you and that's attractive. I mean, it's why I'm attracted to it. So the idea of landscape being transformed into meatscape is very simple, as much as we have. And I made the word up because it was entirely appropriate. It's not like I'm looking to try and stretch your imagination. And it's you're right. The people are very attracted because it's also an illusion. It's magic. it's the painter's comedy club, you know? And, people are going around saying, "Oh my God, look at that cheese!" And why do you have the boots next to the cheese?
Right.
I say, "Ever heard of smelly socks?" And then they all guffaw. They think it's hilarious that I put old boots next to some cheese.
No, it's interesting, Joe. I mean, we've all seen for thousands of years, painters have been painting the still life with grapes and cheese and fruit. But this, I can honestly say, the first time I've ever seen a meatscape, and it was startling.
Yeah.
It was a little startling. But I also wanted to mention, and then we're going to take our commercial break.
Yeah.
I also met Richard, and Richard was when I first met him, he was showing at Big Door Studios. He was outside in the parking lot in Big Door Studios, and it was the first time I've seen his work. And his balls are amazing.
Right.
He can get into this a little himself in a little bit, but he was talking about keeping the rough edges, keeping the bark, but he also uses like the natural, for lack of a better word, imperfections of the wood to he inlays metal and stone and stuff, which I want him to talk about. But as I said, first we have to take a commercial break.
Yes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking about Art at the Harbor. Art at the Harbor is a new event that will be taking place Saturday, September 10th, and Sunday, September 11th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., just across the street from the where is it? It's at 245?
Right across the street from the Crown Plaza Hotel.
Right across the street from the Crown Plaza Hotel. Great. And we are excited talking about art and about meat and many other subjects with our artists here, Richard Gould and Bernard Fallon. And we'll be back with them in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you not picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right, we're back. And Richard, I'd like to start with you. A similar question to which I asked Bernard, which is your relationship to your art is different than other people's relationship to your art. New people, clients, tell us a little bit about how you view your art in relationship to how other people see it.
That's interesting. I kind of view my art as an extension of me, obviously. And you know, when I look at a piece of wood, just a raw piece of wood, I try to visualize what's inside of that piece of wood and bring it out so that people can see it. I think what I see imperfections in my work and, you know, exactly the finish and this piece of bark was a little bit loose and needed to be secured or whatever. And I see the wood has its own natural beauty. If you look at the inside of one of my pieces, and what I try to do is I try to draw people inside. So I try to open up my pieces rather than having them close so that you see the outside. I try to make them tilt them so that people, it draws people in. And so when I'm looking at a piece, I'm always looking at it. Well, how could I have made that piece better so that I could draw somebody to look to the bottom of that bowl and draw them into it. So I'm always trying to improve my work and make it better and better, and it seems to be working. I mean, they always get better every time. But most people, when they come and look at my work, they're looking at the whole thing, and they're looking at the outside, and I'm drawn into it, and I want to see the inside. I want to see to the bottom of that bowl. I want to see what's there, because that's where the prize is at the bottom, usually, because that's usually the center of the log, which is like the very middle of it. And
right.
So I try to draw people in.
There's a lot of layers to his work, Joe. You know, you see the bowl first, right?
Yeah.
You walk in the studio or wherever and you see the bowl.
Right.
And as you get closer to the bowl, you know, you take it in as a whole, but the more you look at the bowl, the more there is. There's like, it's like little, yeah, as you said, the prizes, there are little surprises. What do they call those in DVDs, the little secret things in DVDs? You know what I'm talking about?
Outtakes,
like
special features.
There's another word for it, but it's kind of like that.
Well, when I'm looking at your work, I see so many different things. Now, wood turning produces a kind of a bowl that's very similar to the other. I mean, it's got a V shape of a kind, but there's no way there's any two bowls that are even close to being alike. They're very different.
Yes. No two pieces of wood are the same. Now, if you turn I turn a natural edge bowl is what I turn. And that is like I take the wood and I actually, most people turn a bowl with the inside of the bowl as a top and a level rim that you could eat a salad out of. But I do mine differently. I do mine upside down, and I have the bark as the rim. So as in nature, every log is different. And so the outside of every log is different. So every one of my pieces is different. If I did it the traditional way you would turn a bowl, I could make two bowls exactly the same. But I don't want to do that. That's no fun. I have fun. I never know what it's going to turn out like until it's done. Whereas if I did it the traditional way, I could determine what it was going to look like every time. It's kind of like that little surprise. There's always a surprise in it when you know you're doing it the way I do it. You never know what you're going to get.
And Joe,
some...
Richard, I wanted to mention to Joe, when my husband and I first met you and we were talking about your work, you were telling us that you get your – well, first off, he uses all these different woods, woods I'd never heard of. That's number one. And you were telling us about how somebody called you and said they were tearing down a macadamia tree, and they called you, and you went and you took some logs, right?
Yeah, you know, that was Jacqueline May. Jacqueline, which she's an arts commissioner in Manhattan Beach. She called me, and they were taking down a macadamia tree next door. I said, I was over there in a minute. Because in California, you don't see very many macadamia trees. I mean, they're in Hawaii.
Right.
But they're certainly not here in California. And... you know, although it was a smaller tree and I've gotten a few pieces out of it, I still have some pieces to finish, but it's amazing wood. And, it's kind of, you know, I don't know how to explain it. It's not like any other wood that I've ever turned. And I doubt I'll never find another one here in California. So it's pretty interesting, but I'm sorry,
just to give people an idea of what we're talking about, the range: walnut, myrtle, pear, carob, olive, maple, eucalyptus, there are silver maple. There are many, you use many, many different types of wood. Oak, of course, avocado, pear. It's very
the next time anybody that's listening, the next time you have a tree being cut down in your backyard or your front yard, and it might be an interesting wood, give Richard a call. He'll come and take it.
There you go.
Mulberry, redwood. So now you do have some bowls that are done the traditional way. They're very smooth on the tops and so forth, but the grain, it cannot be reproduced. I mean, I think you're saying you could make them similar, but even the grains between some of these bowls that look very similar are so different. And then there's one here, which is ash and babinka.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did you – I mean, this is very interesting because it's a bowl within a bowl. How did that
happen? So that bowl is – you know, I used to buy wood and glue it together and make bowls. It's called segmenting. So that is that ash and babinga bowl is a pretty large bowl. It's like 20 inches in diameter. It's pretty big. It's a salad bowl, and it's made up of little pieces of wood that I've glued together. And so it's got a ring of babinga in it, which is a exotic wood from South America.
Right.
That I just made. I made rings and stacked rings and one on top of each other, glued them together, and then turned the whole thing to make a smooth salad bowl. And I made quite a few of those. I haven't been making them lately because I've gotten so much into this natural edge stuff and the art part of it. Because that to me, that's not really the art part of it. That's the making a bowl.
Yeah.
And I've kind of gotten away from making ordinary salad bowls and gotten into doing the more natural. And you know, the funny thing about the way I'm doing it currently is the uglier the piece of wood looks when you start out, the better the finished product is. It's just it's a funny thing because you could just get the ugliest old root ball of a piece of wood, and turn it, and it's going to have all these things going on. It's going to have holes in it. It's going to have bug holes. It's going to have all of these opportunities to show what's going on with that wood. And so that's what I'm always looking for, is opportunities to bring out some features of whatever's inside that wood.
Wow.
You know, Joe, we've been it's been so fascinating. The hour is flying, and we still have not talked about the event yet. We got to get the event in.
Right. Let's do that, and also let's invite our erstwhile friend, Bobby Christian. I think he's with us. Hi, Bobby. Are you with us?
I sure am.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just learned the term root ball, so I'm having a great morning.
root ball and meatscape.
Right, right. Oh, God. Well, Jackie, do you want Bobby to go first? Or?
Let's hear what I just saw, Bobby.
Bobby Christian from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau. Tell us, Bobby, what's happening around Redondo?
We got a few things going on this week. We have the two farmers markets. We have the Redondo Beach Farmers Market tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Down right behind the historic library. And then we have the Riviera Village Farmers Market, a new place and time, Sunday at 8 a.m. The Ruby's Classic Car Show continues Friday afternoon, so 4 p.m. on Friday. But the big thing to talk about is the Lobster Festival. It's just basically 3 weeks away. It's going to be our 21st annual Lobster Festival. We've talked about it for weeks coming up, so if you don't have your tickets yet, go ahead and get your tickets and really consider the VIP. The VIP this year is your own guaranteed shaded seated spot. You get escorted entry. You have table runners. And you get bistro tickets and drink tickets with the purchase of the VIP ticket. So you should really consider that, especially if you're coming with a larger group. And then on the chamber side of things, coming up, we have a mixer at Dinner Cal next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. That's what's going on with Redondo Beach this week.
Now, didn't we just do the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival last year?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that comes around, like, every once in a while, you're like, oh, yeah, I think we did one of these before. It comes around just about every year. It's been coming around just about every year for 21 years. We have some great interviews coming up with the bands. I don't know if you guys have talked too much about the bands that are coming on, but we have this international touring act called Beatles versus Stones. We have Grace Band, which is a Elvis cover band that started in Redondo Beach and now travels all over California. And we have interviews coming up with them on our blog on visitredondo.com where we talk about it's our 21st birthday, so what drink should these different bands toast to us? So it's interesting to hear what the cover bands have to say about that.
Okay. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Do you have any announcements for us? RedondoBeachWeddings.org.
I do. I have a few things coming up, but this week I really just want to – I mean, actually, this month is going to be all about Lobster Fest. So the announcements coming from the wedding website are definitely smaller and secondary, but we've got some cool stuff on the horizon that I can't wait to talk about as soon as Lobster Fest is done. It becomes kind of a madhouse around the chamber this time of year.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Bobby Christian.
Thank you.
And, of course, we're going to talk about, with Lobster Festival is coming up, of course, but we're going to talk about Art at the Harbor coming this September 10th, Saturday and Sunday the 11th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Now, across from the Crown Plaza is Ruby's parking lot where the Friday car show is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so how much of the parking lot is going to be Art at the Harbor?
Richard, do you have the numbers on that?
Oh, you know, I don't have the exact number. It's the corner of the parking lot directly across from the Crown Plaza Hotel. It's on the corner of Burrell and Harbor Boulevard there.
Right.
And, you know, that's a big parking lot. It is... You know, the very northeast corner of that parking lot. And, you know, I'd say maybe it's a tenth of that parking lot.
Okay.
You know, it's a fraction of it.
So there's
plenty of parking for people that are going to come.
Room to grow.
There's room to grow. That's right. So
right
when we do it next
Lagoon.
Year, it can get bigger.
It's right in front of Seaside Lagoon.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
Closer to Harbor Drive. Yeah.
No, that's a very... convenient corner to have an art show and tell us a little bit about the focus, Richard, for the Art at the Harbor. Is it to sell? Is it to show? What are we? And is there going to be music, food? Tell us a little bit about the order of events.
So the food will be at the local restaurants. Ruby's is there. There's R10 Social House. There's there's Captain Kids. There's there's lots of restaurants right adjacent. There's a Portofino. And the focus is for each individual artist to have their own display of their own work for purchase, for people to buy. So it's more like a art festival similar to the Manhattan Beach Hometown Fair, the art section of that. So you would have individual artists and different types of artists. We have people doing ceramics. We have people doing jewelry. We have photographers. We have people that like Bernard that do paintings and out of oil or out of pastels. We have people that do they do cars. They do paintings of cars and photography of cars, which ties right into that that car show that's there.
Right.
And we just have a very an artist. Our feature artist is Emily Brantley, who does sea creature paintings. A very, very interesting, very fun, whimsical sea creature paintings. And Bernard, do you know what medium she uses?
She, I believe, uses some illustration paints to do that. And that could be very, very, very thin down, very fine. So she's got a very distinctive, clear graphic style. And in fact, she designed our postcards and posters. And it's very beautiful to look at. And people should just come down just to educate themselves about what is going on. And we're all local artists. And we're all easy to talk to. None of us bite people, as far as I know. And we're all pretty friendly.
What is the featured artist's name again?
Emily Brantley.
Brantley.
That's Brantley.
Excellent.
Now, Bernard, who is putting on this art show? Who is it? Is it one of the local art groups? Is it the artist, individual artists got together and just decided to do this? Who put this together?
Yes, it's the umbrella organization is the Redondo Beach Art Group. And we're here in the South Bay, and we've done a lot of shows. We have the annual Power of Art show, which is coming up in October. And then members have also started Friends of the Redondo Beach Arts, and they recently put up the California 101 exhibition in the Galleria, which many people may have seen. It's quite a striking group exhibition. So essentially, Richard and I are a couple of members who, instead of putting on one massive major show, we sought to find some other shows where our members might be interested. So this show is two-thirds of the artists showing are from the Redondo Beach Art Group, and another third are artists that we just happen to know and exhibit with in other locations. So essentially, Redondo Beach Art Group.
For fondly known as Our Bag.
Right.
Yes, that is true.
And it is Our Bag.
It is Our Bag.
We love.
At last, successful pun. Yes.
It's Our Bag.
First
our
of the morning.
Our Town, Our Bag.
Our Town, Our Bag. And I have to say, EmilyBrantleyArt.com, just like it sounds, EmilyBrantleyArt.com. Her creatures, her ocean creatures, seemingly to me, I know this is strange, but they seem to all have a smile on their face.
Don't you remember her work? I've seen her work at the Art Walk, El Segundo Art Walk.
Yeah, I do remember it, and it is. I agree with you so much, Bernard. There's something. There's a graphic uniqueness about it. The colors are so bright.
It's very crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does beautiful work.
And, of course, she's actually portraying life beneath the waves. So
right.
This is not something that we can all see unless we have a huge aquarium in our front room where you can watch a turtle swimming around.
Right.
She's condensed the essence of life under the waves.
Right.
In a beautiful form.
Right.
It's her vision.
There is something really wonderful about, we should call them orcas and learn to call them orcas and not that other KW.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh.
yeah.
And
you talk about orchids for a second.
Yeah.
Orcas.
yeah.
Orchids.
yeah. And of course, beautiful pictures of octopi, multiple octopuses and dolphins, and really just fascinating stuff. Fascinating.
You know, I want to throw this out there because wouldn't you know it, this morning I was just talking to my husband about Thanksgiving.
Mm.
All right. You know, that's, you know, summer's over and then we're right into the fall and the holiday season. This event, Art at the Harbor, will be a great opportunity to pick up some gifts for the holiday. Just keep that in mind. I know that a lot of people like to plan early, but Joe, you and I are familiar with many of these artists and their work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so much talent in the South Bay.
Right.
You know,
yes,
so.
And I would also encourage people to think about starting an art collection of you know, unique work.
Mm.
Only 4 or 5% of Americans would buy an original work of art.
Mm.
And you know, if you really like something and it's unique, grab it, because it may not be there again next week.
We have to find a way, I think, you're right, Bernard, to encourage people to collect art. That number, though, is seared into my mind, 4 or 5%. That's approximately the same number of Americans, 4 or 5%, that actually regularly save money. And that's quite a chilling statistic about managing our finances and preparing for the future. Art is something you live with, and it gets better and better and better over time. It's the strangest thing. How can you buy a painting and hang it on your wall, and it get better every year you look at it? What is that?
It does, because what you're discovering is what, in a sense, what Richard's been talking about. You discover the secrets and the education of the artist in some cases, because there's a lot of science, well, it's theoretical science, I should say, about colors and harmonies and that sort of thing. And it, you know, it can be broken down into technical discussion of what's in a painting, but the reality is, it's the transmission of light and energy from the brain down through the arm and out through the paintbrush onto a surface of some sort, and it's transmitted from a palette of colors. Pastel painting is the only art form that doesn't, I mean, in terms of painting, that doesn't have a palette. But the other, you know, watercolor, acrylics, oils, they have a mixing board, and the artist can work slowly or work quickly or work intuitively, and those ideas get transmitted permanently onto the surface.
Wow, wonderful discussion today, fascinating, and we're looking forward to Art at the Harbor. Thank you so much for joining us today, Richard. Thank you. And, of course, Bernard, thank you so much.
Thank you both.
We talked a little bit about their websites. Richard Gould, you can find at rgould88.wixsite.com/woodturning. And then, of course, bernardfallon.com.
If you just type in Richard Gould woodturning, he comes right up.
Yeah. Cool. Great. Loved it. We love these kinds of discussions. We don't get to have these kinds of wide-ranging discussions about art often enough, Jackie.
I'll work on it.
Thank you so much. And, of course, thank you, Jackie, for this one.
Oh, always a pleasure, Joe.
That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow. Who's on tomorrow, Jackie?
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about Evening Under the Stars, Torrance Memorial, a couple of reps from Torrance.
Awesome. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.